everybody. Hello. I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter. Welcome. We're going to be talking about Happily Ever After, episode 3. So hopefully everybody had an amazing weekend, amazing Easter. We took a little time off, but we're back. I'm going to wait for Car and Dee to come in. Hopefully they'll be here soon. Hi, Austin. Hi, Portuguese Princess. Hey, can everybody hear me? Somebody said they can't hear me. Oh, volume is down. Gotcha. Thank you. All right.
Two.
Three. Okay, yeah, we can hear me. All right, so we're almost, hey, hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. So how was your Easter?
It was really good. How about yours?
It was good. I went out and did stuff. It was fun. Oh, Kara's here. Okay, so yeah, we're going to be talking about episode 3 of Happily Ever After, which came on yesterday, and there was a lot. Like, I don't know where to start. There's just a lot. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How was Easter?
I worked all day.
Oh, well, that sucks. I'm sorry.
It was 2 hours. It was fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if you're happy, I'm happy. So we're going to be talking about episode 3. So there was a lot. There was motorcycles. There were spiritual baths, and there was counting toilet paper, just to name a little bit. There's also $5,000 lawyers that couldn't be afforded. So, like, there's just so much to get into with these couples. Oh, and Liz and Ed were there, but we don't really care. They were also there. But there was no Angela and Michael, and there was no Lauren and Alexi. We also got a little bit of Nicole and Mac mood, which a lot of people on Twitter were saying that Nicole has a problematic attitude. You know, the way that she was talking to Mahmoud, I know you guys don't care. But I was just, I don't know, like, the way that she said, I'm going to send you back on a plane, you know, because he was looking at a woman that was wearing, like, a hijab and her traditional attire. And then she said a comment on the show. She's like, I don't think I'm Muslim enough for him. And it was really ironic because I was like, that's what he's been trying to tell you, like, since y'all met. Like, that was why he tried to get you to wear the swimsuit. That was why he tried to get you to wear the hair covering. He was trying to explain to you the level of Muslim he needed, you know, and then you resisted. And then now we're here. So, I don't know. I know you guys don't care for talking about them, but I just thought that was a little ironic that she...
I fast-forwarded through them.
Well, yeah, I thought it was ironic because I was like, you do realize you're not Muslim enough for him, right? That's the whole issue. But anyway, I want to talk about... Manuel and Ashley, because there was some key things that happened in this episode, because she took him motorcycle shopping, which I don't know. What's your opinion on motorcycles? I think we've had this conversation before. Cara, you ride them, right? I think you ride them.
Not street bikes. I ride dirt bikes. As soon as the family conversation came up, I was like, there it is. Me and Dee Dee were right again.
So the motorcycle is a mode of transportation that he can take to see his family.
Yeah.
Or his wife, right? And Ashley, well, right, because she can't get on it. Remember when she tried to get on it with him, he was like, get off me, you're hurting my pee-pee. He was like, get off me, you can't fit. That was the whole purpose. He was trying to make sure that he got a bike that she couldn't be on.
Yeah.
So he could have a mode of transportation back and forth to see his family. And I think it's insane that a woman who's $100,000 in debt by her admission already is shopping for a motorcycle for a man who... she doesn't know anything about. She's never met his family. She doesn't know his kids. She doesn't know anything about him. He doesn't speak English. Also, I had a little conversation on Twitter, sidebar, about people who don't speak or read English. How does it work with road signs? Because, like, the sign that says no turn on red or right turn only or yield, how do they know what to do? I don't know. I don't want to sound dumb, but, like, well, how does that work?
He doesn't have a license in... the United States, so he can't even drive.
Well, someone said that if you don't speak English, they'll get an interpreter for you in 127 different languages to get your license. But what doesn't make sense to me is if you can't read English, all of the road signs, I've never seen a road sign that was in other language other than English.
The ones in Mexico are almost identical to the ones here in the U.S. The only thing is, you know, like the signs are pretty much the same, except for when there's words on them, it's in English instead of Spanish. But like the same signs, like left turn or right turn, straight or a curve or whatever, it's pretty much the same.
Oh. So if he knows what the image is, he would know what's going on. Okay, because it was really confusing to me because we watched him go to his English class and his English, because keep in mind, he's been in the U.S. at this point for all a year. His English was still pretty rough, right? Like, in my opinion, like, to be around people who speak English all the time, even his family that in New York, they all speak pretty good English. So I was like, to be around Ashley and to be around so many people, you know, you would feel that he would have caught on to a little bit more. But he only took the English class because he felt like Ashley was kind of pressuring him into doing so. Mm-hmm. You know, and I felt
think
like
he knows English. I think, I mean, he probably not, maybe not know it like really, really good, but he knows English. He's just, he's pulling Ashley's leg. I mean, he's lying to everybody.
I think
there's no way that they've been together for how many years? 10 years? And he don't know nothing?
It's no. Crazy.
He can understand that he just never took the initiative to learn to speak it.
Well, and that's, so, I don't know. It's hard for me because he has family that lives here, you know, so you would think that that would be motivation for you to, and especially him dating an American woman for 10 years, that would be a lot of motivation. And then the fact that she put in for the K-1 visa, you know, that should have been a little bit of motivation. Like, hey, I'm going to be arriving there.
Motivated because he already knows English.
Yeah.
He's just lying. He's faking it.
Why would you fake it? What, doesn't it make things harder?
He's
no, so not for him.
From the beginning, that Pedro's scamming all along, right? Look at how long Pedro went on with this facade. Manuel is doing the same damn thing. He is putting on a facade. He knows so much more than he's saying. He's got family. He's thinking he's never going to get caught. He's like the ultimate scammer.
But his scam is so obvious. Like, the only person who can't see it is Ashley. Mm-hmm. Literally, everybody can see a scam. Her mom, her sisters, her friends, everyone who, anyone from the outside looking in can see what he's doing. You know, the fact that he was like, oh, well, I didn't tell my family about you because you're a witch. She's not even a witch, right? Like, honestly, like, let's be real. She was using holy water in her potions for the bath. Witches don't use holy water. I mean, Dee Dee, I don't know. Do witches use holy water? I feel like holy water is what would kill a witch. Right? Like,
it won't. So why are you using it? Don't kill a witch. It won't kill them, but no, they don't use. Well, the good witches, there are good witches and there's bad witches. It depends on what kind of work they do. And then there's some witches that do both good and bad. So, I mean, some witches do use holy water in some things, but it's very rare.
Oh, okay.
How do you use holy water and not know what the freaking Bible is?
Right. She was like, oh, what is this book?
In a church.
What do you mean? Like, have you never been to a hotel room? Remember you?
First of all, I don't care if you're religious or not. I don't care what religion you are. If you're in a church and you see a book, it's certainly not for taking notes. Everybody knows that. Yeah. Everybody knows what book is in a church.
There's two books. There's a Bible and then a hymn book. With all the songs in it.
Yep.
Like, that, it's pretty universal. Like, I was raised in one specific cult. But it's the same in all the churches. Like, it's two books, and I've read the Bible probably from when I was, like, 7 or 8 to by the time I left the church, probably 10, 15 times. So I know it like the back of my head, and I know a lot about, that's why it's a little scary what's going on now, the Revelation stuff. It's a little scary. That's off subject. But I just think it's really wild to me that she did this cleansing, what does she call it? Like a spiritual bath. And this was to improve his communication.
Yeah, to open his chakra. Well, first of all, to open someone's chakra, you don't do a spiritual bath. There's no such thing as a spiritual bath. So, I mean, I was laughing the whole time because the woman don't even know what the heck she's talking about.
It's kind of
got something blocking his throat, you know?
Well, it's called a scam? Bullshit. I mean, I don't know. It's called scam. It's called scam. Like, he can't tell her what's going on because that would destroy the scam, right? Like, if she knew exactly what was going on and the motorcycle is so he could go see his wife while she's at work, the scam is off, right? Like, the scam is off. You have to keep it a secret. Hey, Riley. You have to keep it a secret. It's just watching her is beginning to be almost intolerable because she's just so difficult to understand, like, her thought process.
And also,
she's like, oh, we have bad community.
Just see her? Like, we just saw her. Why are we seeing her again?
Well, yeah, it doesn't help that we just saw.
I can't.
Oh, yeah, Coco Puff, it looked like they were in the front lawn of her duplex. You're right. So he's out here getting a bath, basically naked in the front lawn. I'm assuming there is no HOA. Yeah. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm assuming there's no HOA because if there was, there will be issues. I can't imagine what the people that live upstairs of the duplex thought was going on. You know, like, why are you outside naked throwing water on this dude and there's raccoons in the tree? You know, if it was my yard, I don't know who I would have called. I don't think you call the cops. You call somebody, though, right? For all those strange stuff going on. I don't even know how.
Yeah, call your landlord and tell him you're moving the hell out.
Right? Like, what is happening? And this whole episode got me, though. Like, and okay, so I want to talk about Rob and Sophie because we found out that, first of all, Rob is in an apartment. Oh, I got some new information from Twitter. Oh, guys, Rob's old apartment in L.A., was not an apartment before he moved in. It was a restaurant.
Oh.
So it kind of made sense because the outside part was nicer than the inside. So that was probably where people ate outside because it had like nice plants and stuff. And I was like, well, this is nice. And then you went in and it was disgusting. Yeah. So I'm assuming the apartment was the kitchen, like where they made the food and then they served the food outside. So that was a little new info.
Talking about Rob and Sophie.
Yeah.
This toilet paper situation has me so messed up. Why are you bitching about toilet paper and how much she uses? Especially when you never had a bathroom before.
Well, maybe. Okay, so my theory was, since that bathroom was shared between four different apartments, I'm assuming Rob never purchased toilet paper. He just used what the other tenants had in the shared bathroom.
I'm assuming so, yeah. Too. But how do you not know how much toilet paper she's using? He had to go in the bathroom before and or after her. If she's really going through that much, I mean, come on.
I mean, also, but
she's a female. Doesn't really matter how much freaking toilet paper she's using. I mean, you wouldn't even buy the poor girl. What them things called? Them thingamajiggers, a bonnet or a bidet? What was it called?
Bidet. I have them in my house. Yeah, I have bidets in every bathroom in my home because, I don't know, I just feel like toilet paper is not sanitary enough. So I feel like it's important to have.
Women use toilet paper for so many different things. Okay. They use it for their makeup. They use it in their ears. They use it to wrap up their feminine products. They use toilet paper like crazy. And every single time they go pee.
Sure.
So whether you have a bidet or not, if you need to fix your mascara, you're not going to walk over there and stick your face in the toilet. So,
well, no.
He's going to use a lot.
I mean, it is one roll of toilet paper a lot for one day? Because I don't think...
Well, you know, if it's them like little, what, like 50 cent rolls? Yeah, I mean, a woman probably go through a whole freaking six pack in one day if it's them like real cheap. Yeah. You know
he's buying dollar store toilet paper.
Yeah, that's definitely my thought process too, because he wasn't always buying toilet paper. So I think when he went to Costco and saw like the 50 pack was like $75, I think that he probably was like, well, this is crazy. We don't even need this. It's garbage.
Hold on.
And he's
Riley, why do you have a remote for your toilet?
Oh, he said he has
bougie.
And a remote. Oh, and he has a bidet. So my bidets are not heated. So Riley, you are a step up from me. Mine are not like heated seats or anything. But look, I installed them myself. Do you remember when Muhammad couldn't figure out how to install them? I installed them myself, right? It's not even that
you
difficult.
You guys are all more classy than me. I don't have a single bidet, but I do have flushing toilets and unlimited toilet paper that I purchase.
you are already two steps above Rob. You're already two steps above Rob. You're Kardashian level. So let's talk about the fact that there was like a canoe in Rob's living room. So like, okay, so when you walk into the apartment, there was like a kitchen and there was like this big ass canoe. And I was like, so you went from not having a bathroom to now you have a canoe. And I was like,
it's a paddleboard.
Oh, it's a paddleboard. Well, you know, I don't know nothing about water, but what is the deal with buying a paddleboard, but like a $1 4-pack of toilet paper is outrageous. Yeah. You know, like how much is a paddleboard? Just curiosity. How much is a paddleboard?
Anywhere from $100 to $500.
Okay.
I mean, they even more than that.
So he bought a paddleboard, totally fine with that purchase, but purchasing everyday necessities like toilet paper is an issue for him.
Yeah.
Which, and then the note. I want to get into the note. Like, right, so he wrote a list of demands that he needs from Sophie for her to come back. So, okay, she's been gone for 2 months. She's been staying with her best friend / girlfriend. And instead of, you know, pulling out all the stops to win his wife back, he's like, well, these are some things that you could do to make my life easier. And she's like, you didn't even put on the list that you're going to stop cheating on me. Yeah. Like, how is it that everything on this list is something that I need to do to make your life better, but the only reason why I left is because you cheated on me constantly. Like, not once, not twice, like, all the time. And it's like, what type of thought process is it if a woman is pissed off at you that you're going to finally invite her back? She's going to come back and give you a chance to talk to you, which it takes a lot. It took her 2 months. And then when you get her in front of you, you're like, oh, by the way, you should start like using less toilet paper and cleaning up after yourself and not leaving your makeup out. And she's like, or I could just move out, you know, like, or I could just get my stuff and leave. Like, why should I change anything else for you? You haven't stopped cheating on me, you know, like since we met, but I'm supposed to change my life for you. Like, who is this guy? What is wrong with him?
Two things on that. First of all, she just went back for this episode. She had no intention of staying. She didn't even bring a big enough suitcase for her makeup, let alone any clothes or anything she might need. So that she just stopped in for the episode because it was required by her contract. Second of all, if a guy got me a flower, a single flower, but then proceeded to tell me all the hell he went through to get it, it would mean that much less. Just do it and shut your mouth.
Well, he wants pats on the back. He's like, absolutely. You ever seen, I don't know, this was like it's probably too old, a Mad TV character, his name was Stuart. And every time he did something, he'd tell his mom, like, look what I can do, look what I can do, because he wanted that gratification from his mom. I feel like that's Rob.
Yes.
Whenever Rob does something, you have to like coddle him and pat him on the head and say, good boy, or he feels like you don't appreciate what he did. And it's like, Rob, seriously, like, you, first of all, you didn't even buy her a flower. You stole it out of somebody's garden. You didn't put it in any water. You didn't even bother to pull the thorns off of it. You just sat it there to die on the counter. And now you want her to kiss your feet for stealing a flower out of some lady's garden to bring to her. Like, get out of here. Are you kidding me?
See, I would have slapped him in the face on the thorn side. I would have, you know what I'm saying? I would have slapped him in the face. Because he is such a, oh my gosh, he is a narcissist. And I don't like Rob at all. Nope. I really don't.
Me too.
So we know that Rob and Sophie are in Arizona right now filming The Last Resort season 2. So I think that kind of gives us an idea of how this season is going to end up. Kara, you probably are aware that she's probably not going to move back in, right? Like, we're not going to see that happen.
She's got a girlfriend. She has a girlfriend. She's happy. She's living the American dream.
Well, yeah.
Look, what have me and Kara been saying from the get-go, George?
You kept saying that they broke up, like, in the middle of last season. That's what you kept saying. And you said that they've been tolerating each other kind of long enough to get paid, basically, is what's going on. Like, her.
The main thing is, she came over here just for the green card. That's all she wanted. She had to get married to get the green card. Once they get married, they already know they're not going to get deported. So, and then, once they got married, she found, if she wasn't already dating this girl, we still don't even know yet, because dang, if if they just moved to Austin and she in the bed with somebody else that quick, then the girl got issues.
Yep.
Well, I'm assuming that this was someone she was talking to all along. Like, when she arrived in L.A., she probably had other options.
Yeah, you know, that she was talking. She was bisexual.
Right, right. And we know that she was on dating apps. She claims it was just for friends. Yeah. But let's be real. This girl that she's sleeping in the bed with is her friend. You know, I think that she had many options. Rob was the sucker. Yeah. And then after Rob, there's other options for her. So after Rob wifed her up and got her the paperwork and submitted the paperwork, she's free to move about the cabin, right? Like, she's free to talk to who she wants to talk to. She literally packed up her stuff, moved out, and then staged a little visit with a fake luggage. And I even guarantee there wasn't anything in that luggage. This was all staged. Yeah. She was going over there to pretend like she was going to give him another chance. But then no matter what transpired, she wasn't going to stay. Lucky for her, he didn't do much to make her change her mind. You know, it wasn't much. But now we're going to have to be forced to watch them on a season of Last Resort. And I wanted to see how y'all felt about that, because we know that they're there. We saw the pictures.
Literally, the whole cast of Last Resort makes my skin crawl.
So everybody.
We just saw all of these people except for Brandon and Julia. We just saw them all.
Yeah.
And even Brandon and Julia we saw on Diaries.
Right.
All
of them.
I don't even know what to think about Last Resort. I really
this
don't.
This season's almost as bad as that. This next season's going to be almost as bad as the first one.
Yeah.
We've seen Gino and Jasmine over and over and over, back to back to back to back.
This will be the fourth consecutive. No, they took a break. I think when they went from before the 90 days to 90 days, we skipped a season. But this will be the fourth show we've seen them on, which is intense.
They were on before the 90 days too, leading
up. Before the 90 days, Happily Ever After, and then Last Resort will be number four, I believe, season that they've been on, which is a lot. And maybe Last Resort will be the ending, because I've heard rumors that they're not together right now.
Yeah, she's with Nikki, just like we said all along.
Well, I don't know if she's with Nikki or not.
Nikki's at the Last Resort. She's going to be with a freaking iPad, just like Angela and Michael.
Wait, are you sure? Yeah. I heard that she was, but I didn't see pictures.
Yeah.
So she'll be on an there.
iPad. She'll be on an iPad with Igor. Just like Angela and Michael were.
What a waste. When they could get two people. That's a waste. Obviously, that relationship is toasted out. You know, I don't see the purpose of. Did you see her story today? Nikki posted her OnlyFans. And she posted a nice nude on her story with little decals over everything. So if anybody's interested, Nikki Exotica is selling that. All of that. If you guys are interested in that.
I'm good. Not interested.
Wait, Dana lives in Jersey. Wait, who's in Jersey? They're in Arizona, Dana. I don't know what. No, nothing's filming in Jersey right now. I think the tell-all film's in New York, which would be close to you. But as of right now, that is the Last Resort situation. Gino and Jasmine. Did anybody verify or not if Ashley and Manuel were there? I heard rumors, but I didn't see pictures.
I didn't see them there. It's all I've got so far is Ari and Benny, Nikki and her iPad, Gino and Jasmine, Brandon and Julia, Rob and Sophie. I think it's just those five.
Oh, okay.
I don't care to see neither one of them.
Yeah. Me either.
Why are they bringing Julia and Brandon? Like, they are happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all over social media. She just got her citizenship. Why are they bringing people that we already know that's happy, living their life? Like, why?
They tried to set up something on their diaries where she was applying to be like a dancer in a club.
It was supposed to be Colt and Vanessa, but they divorced and announced it. So they had to replace Colt and Vanessa and bring in whoever. So I'm sure that's why Brandon and Julia got brought in.
Ah, okay. Colt and Vanessa ended up, I wonder if
they got a divorce. Yeah. I'm surprised they lasted as long as they did, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That was very
shocking.
Did
you see the new cast for House of Villains, though?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, Larissa. Yeah.
Larissa will be on, which I think will be a fun season to watch. Larissa is definitely...
Did you see the other 90 Dayer that's going to be on there?
What other 90 Dayer?
Scott.
Who told you that?
I just know things. Scott's going to be on there.
I don't know of that. So.
Well, now you do.
I can't vouch for that because I don't know that.
Now you do.
Who told you? Because I feel like I would know if that were true.
I can't say that. I can't say that, but I can tell you he's going to be on there.
Okay. So we're going to see because I was told something else. So, wait, Riley says no comment. Okay, am I?
I'm not even going to comment. Let's just move on.
Yeah, this is really interesting for me because the casting person for that show is a friend of mine. So this is just really interesting. Really interesting because I didn't know about that. So, and I heard that it was going around and I actually reached out to casting for the show and I told me that they told me it wasn't true. So I'm very shocked by that. So we're going to move on to Emily and Kobe in the Cameroon because now I got phone calls today. Okay. So Emily and Kobe and the family went to Cameroon and I thought that it was going to go bad. You know, usually when a bunch of white people go to Africa, it doesn't usually go well, but it actually went really well. His family, there was a lot of them. Apparently, Kobe has 10 siblings. And then his extended family were there. They even performed music and performed for them and danced. It was a really beautiful situation. It was probably one of the more less scripted-looking storylines I've seen in a while. It actually looked like his family really wanted to interact with Emily and her family, which I thought was really nice. There was no drama. There was no inserted production. There was no fake fighting. You know, I thought it was really nice. I thought that the way that they accepted them and they're planning a wedding, I was really happy with it. And I was like, it's nice to see a little real decent stuff every now and then, right? Because we're watching McColl and Mahmood and we know where that's going. You know, we're watching Gino and Jasmine, we know where that's going. So it's a little nice to see a little wholesome activity there. So Emily gets to get her dowry. So her family gets to decide, you know, what they want to ask for. And I don't know, guys, I've always been against dowries. I don't think we should be buying and selling people. I think the U.S. has learned our lesson from that. I don't think that we should be doing that. And I remember when Annie and David were going through it, and I was just like, I just don't like the idea of going to a man and giving him something for his daughter. I just don't like it. It just seems so weird. But I know it's a cultural thing, and it's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, and who am I to say it's wrong? You know, I think it's really weird that they do this still. You know, in 2024, they're still accepting, you know, things for people. You know, it's crazy to me.
That shouts. I mean, I'm not saying this is what it is, guys. So don't say this is how it feels to me, okay? As a mother, you know what I'm saying? It feels like they're talking about human trafficking. Okay, well, it's pretty much the same thing because you are selling your child.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it. Because if they don't give you what you ask for, then you don't let them marry her. It's like you're giving them an ultimate, like, okay, give me two cows. Or I think in Annie's situation, it was like, how many
water buffaloes?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't like that. I just hate it. And Kim did it too when she gave Usman's family, like, was it a cow? I think it was a cow, right? I don't know. I just think it's really... It's an outdated practice, and if they're going to change anything, they should stop accepting money or items for people. You know, like, we learned our lesson in the U.S. for that. It's not something that we even want to revisit in history half the time. Like, we're not proud of that part of our time, and I wish that other countries move past it. Like, maybe just have, like, where we do in America, where if the guy is marrying the girl, then the guy's family pays for the wedding or vice versa, you know, that type of thing, just so it's not such a burden on either family. You know, like, I wish there were different ways to do it.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, How long have they been together? How long have they been married?
2.5 years they've been married. Okay. They've known each other for like a long time.
And she still don't know how to cook one of his culture's food? She still don't know how to do it?
Yeah, see, we were talking about this last week. She knows nothing
about his culture?
Well, see, Cara and I were saying that we got to put 50% of the blame on Kobe because it's Kobe's responsibility to put Cameroon culture in their household. You know, yes, she could Google
it. Gonna put it in the household when that ain't even his house.
Well, I mean, that's true. Because honestly, having Cameroonian children, there should be at least one traditional meal every week, you know, of their culture. You know, there should definitely be something reminding them that, you know, you're not from Salinas, Kansas. You know, like your family originated somewhere farther away, and they should be implementing that. And I think we were talking about that last week because we were like, we have to say Kobe should be pushing more to get that into their home and making sure that children are seeing it and understanding it. And then Emily too, you know, don't get me wrong, Google is very helpful. You know, if you want to learn some traditions, if you want to learn a recipe, like Google has got your back. You know, if you really want
to. I use Google all the time for recipes. And if I was married to someone from out of the country, you bet your ass I would learn to cook everything.
Well, right. Like I said, they would love to
cook the like special dishes at least. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because you go over to their country or they come over to visit. I mean, you would want to at least know how to do at least the special, you know, dishes. Like with the Hispanics, it's tortillas, rice, and beans.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you can do tortillas, rice, and beans, you're good.
Right. I mean,
That's it. That's all they want is tortillas, rice, and beans, and you good.
Yeah. I think another thing that got to me, they have been there for 2.5, been in Salinas for 2.5 years and had 2 kids. And they're just getting back to Cameroon to see his family. So I was like, it's weird that they had a whole kid and didn't try to bring the first child over to meet the family. You know, it's just, I want to see more effort when, you know, when you're separating people and putting countries and continents in between family, you have to make more of an effort to make sure that that family is still a part of your life.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times people will move across the country and forget about the people they left behind. You know, they're not implementing them in, they're not letting them be a part of their children or grandchildren's lives. And I think there needs to be a little more effort. I felt like 2.5 years and 2 kids later, you know, that's a long time. You know, parents are not going to live forever. You know, Kobe's dad is getting older in age. I'm sure that he wanted to see the life and the people that are involved in his son's life. And I felt like, I don't know, that was a long time to wait, you know, and kind of maybe they waited for TLC to pay for the trip. You know, I know it's expensive. You know, I know it's not easy, but you know, when you make these decisions in life, you have to remember the people you're leaving behind, and you have to make sure that you're going to be able to keep them in your life. Yep. You know, and Jasmine is going through that right now too. You was know, it, she.
I wonder. Sorry. Was anybody
go
else?
Ahead, I'm sorry.
That was Kobe's stepmom.
Yeah, I saw that. Surprised? I saw that.
He's saying Kobe's going over all the things, and he's like, essentially what he's saying is the only thing that can separate you, I mean, this is it. This is your only until death. So I don't know if Kobe's real mom passed away or what, but I was really surprised. I think that's the first one out of the United States where we've seen they had a step parent.
Yeah, I saw that too. And I know, like you said, their marriage is from death do you part. So if she did pass away, then his dad was able to remarry. But I think if not, I don't think you're allowed to remarry is the way it works. So it is possible. They didn't really elaborate on that. And as far as I know, Kobe hasn't really told us much about his family back in Cameroon. Like, we don't know a lot. You know, this was the most that we saw. And yeah, the stepmom thing caught me off guard as well, because I thought that was his mom. And then I was like, oh, so is his mom in another part of the city, the country, or no longer here?
Right.
You know, they didn't really specify that at all, which... it's another reason why it's crazy it took so long, you know, for them to get back over there, because you never know what's going to happen, and you want your parents to see and meet and hold and be a part of their grandkids' lives, your family's lives. So I don't know. I think that this is a good way to make up for it. They're going to do the traditional wedding, because, you know, in Cameroon, they don't think of an American wedding as a wedding, and as same as in America, America doesn't acknowledge, you know, the weddings that happen over there. So I think it's good. I think it's good they're gonna give the family the wedding that they can attend. I think it's only fair, you know, when you
but
do
how
that.
Hard would that be? You go on vacation for 7 days or whatever, and all of a sudden you have to have a wedding in the middle of it.
Well, yeah, they didn't know. They didn't plan for the wedding, which it's only thing that made it a little better was it's in Cameroon, Africa, so it's probably not going to be that expensive. You know, like, yeah. So say, like, in America, some people are spending upwards of $20,000 for a wedding. They can probably get away with spending $2,000 yeah. for, like, an amazing wedding. Oh, I wanted to touch on one thing that Liz said last night. She said that her wedding dress that she liked was $885, and she said that that was astronomically high for
yeah.
what she expected to spend on a wedding dress. So, and my question is, where was she going to buy the dress? Like Ross, TJ Maxx? That is the cheapest wedding dress we've ever experienced on this show, and it actually looked yeah. really, really nice. Right? Like, in my opinion, that was a steal. Like, when I go to the store and I see a nice pair of Adidas and TJ Maxx and they're on clearance for $40, I'm buying those because it's a steal. Now, I was like, I'm trying to understand how and what world is Liz struggling to the point where $800 is a lot of money, because they've been on the show longer than we've asked them to be on the show.
Absolutely.
Right? So explain to me where all of this money is going, because y'all been yeah. on the show for season after season after season, collecting check after
can't
check.
Can't even get rid of them.
Right? And she was like, that's like astronomically more than I expected to spend. I was like, so what was your budget? Like $200?
Because she already knew that they're just being paid to be on the show. They're really not together. It's all fake. So she didn't want to have to fork out money for a wedding dress.
Well, yeah,
that
she made that clear. She's like, well, I'm gonna go look, but I'm not gonna buy anything. And that caught me as really strange. So I was like, so she really does know that she's not actually going through with this. Because, you know, once you buy a wedding dress and you get it sized, they're not taking it back. You know, like, they're not taking yep. it back. That's
absolutely.
Yours. It's sized to your body. Sell that on Craigslist and get out. Like, they are not yep. taking it back. So she knew she couldn't leave there with anything because they weren't gonna take it back. And it's yep. like, so what was the point of all this fake filming and storyline? She knew she's not going to get married. Everybody knew. Oh, one other thing she said that was weird to me. I know y'all don't care to talk about her, but she thanked her grandmother for driving 16 hours to come out to see her. Why didn't she send her a plane ticket? They're like $250.
Because that would take out of her, you know, $300 wedding dress budget.
So are they struggling, like, for real, for real? Like, I'm really confused.
There's no way. They're making so freaking much money off this show, it's pathetic.
Well, right. Either they're...
I think they just want people to think that they... If they're struggling so bad, how in the heck did they get a brand new house?
Yeah.
Their house is
and
nice.
And live off your savings. How do you buy a brand new house and live off your savings?
How do you even get approved for a house just by using your savings?
Yep.
No, you yep. can't. You'd have to pay cash. Like, if you want to get a mortgage, you have to have a job. There's no other way. You could have like $1 million in the bank and they still won't approve you if you don't have
yeah.
a job. I know that yeah. for a fact. Oh, Maya, you're right. She said maybe grandma's afraid of flying. That's true. That's true. That is something that I didn't think of or put into consideration. Maybe she didn't want to get on
very
the plane.
Very true. Because I'll drive for 4.5-5 days before I get on the plane.
Yeah. So I can't go after Liz for that, but I am going after Liz for everything else. Right?
But
like,
did you catch how she said it? Thank you for driving 16 hours for me again.
Again, I did catch that. This wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that, oh, wait, you can have 2 years of disability and buy a house. Yeah, but neither one of them are disabled.
Yeah, but also disability shows as income.
Yeah, that's an income. You have to have an outside source of income outside of your savings or what you already have. Like, it has to be a recurring income. Yeah. So, like, yeah. that's why I thought it was interesting. There was a Drake song back in the day, and he said he had 4 mortgages. And it caught me as strange, because for someone to have so much money, why would you have a mortgage? Just buy it, right? Like,
yeah.
what's the point of having $100 million in the bank, but then you go out and take out a loan on a house? Like, that, it was very confusing to me, off topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, that situation, the $885 dress situation, Rob's poem Did you guys care for Rob's poem that he wrote her?
You know he got that off of Google.
Well, no,
Rob can't even talk straight. How the heck is he supposed to write a poem?
It's that AI generator where you give it a few words and it gives you like a whole paragraph. That's probably what we're talking here, that AI generator. That's how most of the kids in high school are writing their reports and papers now. You tell it what it's about, and then it gives you like paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of BS. You know, and I think that's what we're looking at here. He's incapable of being non-knobbish.
Even Facebook now, when you write a post, it asks if you want it to change it, let AI change it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's letting you improve your grammar skills, not by improving your knowledge, but just letting someone else do it for you. Oh, so Riley asked if a man leaves you at the altar, can the woman return the dress?
No.
Because the dress was sized and like, what's the word when you take it in? Like alteration, right?
Yeah.
So it was alterated. So it no longer fits anyone but that person.
Yes.
So once you do that, just like when you buy a car from a dealership, you know, you drive away, it's basically yours. You know, even though you didn't wreck it, you didn't hit a pothole, you can't bring it back. They don't want it back. And if they do take it back, they're going to take like, 35-40% off of what you gave.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's basically the same thing. So that's why I thought it was interesting that she was 2 months out from the wedding and she didn't want to buy anything, because it takes at least a good month for your seamstress to get your stuff in order.
Depending on where it is, sometimes it can take up to a year for you to get your dress.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, because you have to think, like, you're not the only person getting married, right? Like, you're not the only person in the area that needs a dress.
My daughter-in-law's wedding dress was 9 months out.
9 months?
Yep.
Was it, like, completely custom?
No, she bought the dress and had to have it altered to fit.
Wow, that's crazy. 9 months is like how long it takes to make a human being.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to think.
Also, like $7,000, not $800.
$7,000. That's a lot. That's a lot.
I don't know. I just have to get married in a freaking t-shirt and jogging pants, because.
Well, absolutely.
A lot of people online, I was one of my old co-hosts, she got married and she bought a dress from David's Bridal, and she posted pictures of it in the dress, and the dress was amazing. It looked amazing, and I think she paid less than $2,000 for the dress. So yeah. I always tell people, like, you don't have to buy a Vera Wang or Alexander McQueen. Nobody knows what it is. They don't.
My wedding dress, granted it was 30 years ago, but my wedding dress was $50 at a consignment shop.
I want to see pictures. You have to post pictures. I want to see how good it looks, because every time I see pictures, this is another thing that somebody told me. They said, when you look at people's wedding photos, it doesn't have the price of the dress at the bottom. You just know that the person looks great and the pictures look great and they look happy. Yeah. So I think that that's what people should really take into consideration. Because when you're flipping through your wedding album, it doesn't say tuxedo, $5,000, wedding dress, $10,000. Yeah. You don't write that. You just look at the pictures and you look, oh, I look amazing. The colors look great. The bridesmaids look great. That's what's important. So 2,500. Oh, Maya says 2,500 is average. Isn't that what Jasmine paid? 2,500, I believe, is what she paid her. Like 2,000, 2,500, which was high because most of her money was spent on her ass.
Yeah.
So that was a high. That was a high bargain. Oh, I want to talk about this $5,000 lawyer before we run out of time. So Gino is claiming he does not have $5,000 to hire the lawyer. So are we calling
lie?
Or do you think that he's run out of money?
Lie.
It's totally a lie. But also, what a dumbass. And also, maybe she shouldn't have spent 10 grand on her ass and she could have brought her kids over.
That was
true.
That was the consensus last night. Because everybody was like, well, yeah, this is a horrible situation and your kids should be here with you. But were you thinking about them when you paid the $10,000 for the implants? Because they were like, you didn't even have the full amount. You had to go asking around. That should have been the priority of your kids. Yeah. And everybody was like, if you meant that much to you, that you went and asked your ex for the money to make sure that you could get the implants, then you shouldn't. Oh, and she made a statement, and I want to ask you about this too. She said, it's your responsibility to get my kids over here. And then a lot of people online said, no, it's not his responsibility. As a mother, it's fully your responsibility. He can help, but it's definitely her responsibility. So how do you guys feel? Whose responsibility is it? Is it a joint effort? Or do you think that Gino married Jasmine, so he doesn't have any responsibility into bringing her kids over? Or how do you feel?
I feel like it's both of their responsibility. First of all, he never should have promised he would bring her kids over. Yeah. Second of all, he should have done the damn paperwork right the first time or got an attorney when he knew he was doing it right. But on the flip side of that, that's her kids and her responsibility. You should prioritize them before you prioritize yourself. So this is all on her as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, prioritizing her butt, her boobs, her face, her teeth, her hair, her nails, her clothes, her lifestyle. Where was her kids at? And all of that. They weren't important then, so why are they important now?
See, I kind of agree with you because she didn't have to leave all the paperwork up to Gino. There's no law that says that she can't help prepare her own paperwork. There's no law. She could have hired someone to do it. She could have been more involved. She let Gino take the lead in something that he has no expertise in. Yep. So it's like, I want to blame Gino, but Gino doesn't know what he's doing. That's just like if you hire a mechanic to fix your car who's an electrician for houses. You can be mad at him, but it's your fault for hiring somebody to do a job they're not qualified to do.
Yeah.
You know, you knew they weren't qualified, but you did it anyway. You let them do it and they screwed it up. You know, so it is what it is. And I feel like when she came over, she should have had money that she saved that was just for getting her kids over here. Like, that should have been a priority. You know, I know a mom leaving her kids is a huge deal. So obviously you want to make sure the time that you're separated from your kids is shortened. So her coming over here with no money whatsoever doesn't look good, you know, because she made sure she left with a $10,000 ass, you know? So it's like you prioritize everything but this, and then you're blaming him for not prioritizing your kids. And it's like, they're your kids. You know, like you have to be number one supporter or prioritizing for them. And then obviously he can help, but there isn't much he can really do at this point if he doesn't have the $5,000 or if he doesn't want to pay the $5,000. Some people are saying that he has the money. He just doesn't want to actually bring them over here. He told her he would help, but he doesn't actually want to follow through. That's what people are saying online.
I feel like that's a big deal too. I mean,
do you think that, if that's true, how do you feel about that? Should she leave? Should she leave him?
She never should have came.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that he told her everything she wanted to hear to get her here. And then once she got here, because everything changed, he said that he was going to buy her new clothes. He was going to get a new place. He was going to do all these things for her. And since she's gotten here, he hasn't really done much of anything.
Yeah.
You know, we watch this a lot with especially men in the U.S. They tell these women overseas that they are rich. They can change their life. They can give them a lifestyle they can't believe. They can give their, and then when they get over here, they're like, well, I can't afford that. You know, everything over here isn't free. And then they tell them a completely different story. And I feel like that's like a advanced version of catfish, except it's almost like kidnapping, because now they're over here and they're stuck. So it's almost like catfishing, but like kidnapping too, because once they get over here and then they realize that you lied to them, they don't really have a lot of choice other than to go back, but they also put in a lot of work and effort, you know, in the relationship to get the K-1 visa as well. They left their family, they sacrificed too. So it's like, should they just leave or should they try to tolerate you long enough to get something, you know?
The whole situation is crazy because, I mean, why is she going to be upset with Gino whenever the whole time she was in Panama, she wasn't worried about her kids?
Yeah.
Well, because she was too busy living the high life. She was too busy making sure her hair was on point, her nails were on point, that she was going to the gym, that she was getting all these surgeries. Where was her kids at then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and also her last apartment, her sister lived with her, never showed like a boy's room.
Sister, we know that's her daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
but
we know for a fact that her ex-husband has custody. So that was another question that was coming up on Twitter. They're like, well, how does it work if you're petitioning to bring over children for a marriage if you don't have custody. So how does that work? Yeah. Can they petition custody for those children without her having custody? Like, how do you ask to bring someone somewhere when you don't have the right to do that, even if you were in Panama?
Story. None of this is legit. It's a storyline. That's all it is.
There's no way. There's no way possible. I'm with Kara. It's got to be a storyline. I'm not saying that the little boy ain't hers, but
yeah,
I'm not saying that. But I am saying, I mean, it's a storyline.
Yep.
And we already know that sister is not her sister. That's her daughter. That's why Dane's still in the picture. That's why Dane is still banging her head on the headboard. That's why Dane gave her money for the butt. That's why Dane gives her money all the time. That's why her and Dane are best friends, because that's her daughter's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this whole situation is crazy to me. And then the fact that we're hearing rumors that they're not together is even more questionable, because that would prolong the
apparently she broke her NDA and told the reason why she divorced Gino after they got married. It's all over social media.
Now, what was the reason?
Because he refused to bring her kids to the United States. That's what it's saying. I don't know.
Do you think that's the real reason?
No.
Because,
We all know she don't want her kids. She just wants them for a little bit, the visit, and then send him back to his dad.
Yeah.
We all know she don't want her children.
Well, we know that they weren't with her physically in Panama. She had visitation. We know that. These are facts. So the idea of bringing them over seems like something that they would have to go. She would have to go to court and get custody first, right? Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's a process. I don't know a lot about the court process, but I'm pretty sure if you don't have custody of a child, you can't petition to bring it to another country.
Yep.
Without, like, somebody approving that, like a judge.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and both custodial parents would have to be in agreement with that. And I'm trying to understand why we don't know what her ex-husband's opinion of this is. Like, is he okay with the fact that he's been raising them most of their lives and then he's just going to hand them off? Like, most fathers wouldn't be okay with that. No. Not just hand them off.
You know. He knows that it's all for show. This is, none of it's really happening. It's just for the show.
And he then why is it these 50,000 shows that we done seen them on, why is it that she has not even said anything about children, not even let them come up? Because Until this last season, probably because TLC probably put more money in her face. That's probably why.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I think her first season, before the 90 days, we didn't know she had children. I don't think it ever came up. And then when she came back on 90 Day Fiancé, the OG show season, is when children talk came, because that was before she arrived here and then when she arrived. That's when we really found out. I think that's when we actually met the children. Like, we physically saw them.
Yeah.
One of them. We saw Wonse on the show, and we were told there were two. One, Wonse, and then a special needs boy. That's what we were told. And that's kind of when we found out that even was happening, that was in existence. Because we were all a little shocked, because we didn't even know if Gino wanted kids. So we didn't even know if he wanted to be a stepdad. You know, we were just like, oh, that's news to us, because you know, he's never talked about having kids. She didn't really talk about having kids. And then all of a sudden she had two.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty big.
Yeah, she's got three.
I mean, you're probably right. She probably does have three. This whole situation, though, I feel that we're getting our legs and arms pulled in different directions with different lines of narrative. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know who's telling the truth. I don't know what blow up or argument is production or what's real. Like, it's getting really hard to tell what we're watching anymore. It's almost, because like each season, like they set up Rob and Sophie's breakup so they would be set up to go straight to the last resort. So are they also setting up Gino and Jasmine's divorce so they can show up on the last resort? Like, not only are we watching like a storyline, but the storyline has different chapters. Because they're like, well, we'll end the chapter of Rob and Sophie on Happily Ever After, and then we'll start the new chapter on The Last Resort. Like, they're planning it ahead of time. So we don't even know what we're watching, it if it's real or if it's part of the storyline or what. Because you guys pointed out that Sophie and Rob broke up a year ago, you know? And I think you're right, you know? But part of the chapter was they had to make it seem like they were still together because they were going to pop up on two different shows after that. So that
they were broke up before they even got married. That's why she wore a dollar store, or what do you call them, Dollar Tree dress when they got married.
Yep.
So I mean, and then when they were on the tell all, they made it obvious they were not together. They made it so obvious.
When he took her out on that date or whatever, did you notice the way that he hugged her? He hugged her
barely even touched.
And then when she was leaving the apartment saying she didn't want to stay, the way she hugged him, the way they were acting, it was like they really don't interact. Like, they can't stand each other. It's not the way that people act that are sleeping together. You know, I was just like, that's the way that they're acting is really, like, awkward around each other. Like, they're being forced to be in each other's presence. They wouldn't choose to be around each other, but they're doing this because it's part of the job. You know, and it's just really interesting. So, yeah, everything is cool. So we're gonna come back tomorrow because we've been on for a minute. Oh wait, we didn't talk about Calum. So wait, one more thing before we go off. Calum is Sophie's best friend, who is a male who lives in the United Kingdom, who was visiting the U.S. and actually Dana. Didi knows Spanish. He's visiting the U.S. and he is best friends with Sophie, which Rob has an issue with because Rob is extremely insecure, which is really funny because as someone who cheats on people, it's really interesting to have such a insecure mindset of yourself. So this person, he asked if this person was ugly because he was like, well, if he's not ugly, then I'm bothered by him, which I thought was a really immature thing to say, but we're talking about Rob, so I'm not surprised. But he's now saying that since he's good looking, his words, not mine, that he's feels hot. He called him hot. How do you guys feel about that? Rob felt like since the guy is hot, that his words, not mine, that there's something going on between Sophie and this guy have something going on. I think Sophie obviously has something going on with her girlfriend. What do you guys think is going on with this guy? Is it just a friendship or what?
Hard to say, but
yeah.
So already in another relationship, Rob needs to worry about the relationship she's got in America if he's truly concerned.
Yeah, I think that. So okay, different question: is it okay for a husband, your husband, to have a hot female friend that will fly across the world to see them? Is that ever okay?
If I met my husband across the world and he moved to be with me, I would be upset if he didn't want to see his friends and family.
Even if
they're... I don't care if she's hot or not.
Okay. So you don't, you're not insecure because you have to be secure.
Not her. Like,
well, right. So exactly.
After we got married and he's like, oh, I met her online, which is something Rob would do. I met her online. Now she's going to come over and see me. That's different. But if it's somebody he knew before he married me, when he would have had the opportunity to marry her ahead of time, he could have married her before me. So if he married me, I don't give a shit.
So, Dee Dee, how do you feel
about that? I don't care. I'm not an insecure person. So,
a hot woman flies across the world to see your husband. You're totally fine.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I'm impressed with both of you at your level of maturity because some women could be petty about this. Like, look at how petty Rob is. Rob is extremely petty about this. He feels like, well, I mean, when you're out cheating on people all the time, it's kind of in the back of your mind that people are going to be cheating on you all the time, right? Like, it is what it is. That guilty conscience is from the things that you're doing. And since he knows that he can't be trusted and he's hitting on every woman that gives him attention, he's going to assume that Sophie is doing the same thing. And it's his fault. You know, when you go out there and you treat women the way that he treats women, he doesn't respect them, he lies, he cheats, he's controlling. He counts toilet paper rolls. You know, it's yeah. only a matter of time before your insecurity gets the best of you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, yeah. if it's something he knew in the past, like, she had the opportunity to marry Callum when she was home.
Right. But she came Callum over. Can't give her a green card, though.
Yeah, but she doesn't want a Callum. She wants a K.
Yeah.
She never wanted Rob. She doesn't want a man to begin with.
Yeah, you're right. You can tell the way that she acts around men compared to how she acts around women is just so different.
Look at the big picture. Who should he be more concerned about? She just said she's bisexual. You marry her. You split up. She moves in with a woman. The last person I would be worried about is the guy coming to see her. I'd be like, what's going on with the woman you're living with?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that there's layers to this relationship. There's layers to this story. And I think that, unfortunately, we're probably going to get to know more of them because they're going to be around for a minute and we're going to watch them on The Last Resort and see if they stay together, which I don't think they will, obviously, because Sophie is going to be with Kay, who she clearly loves and likes and appreciates. Yep. She said over and over, Kay takes better care of her than Rob does. So I think that what she's looking for, she's already found. So she's
got Kay on TV, so Kay's going to be starting to get the TLC checks. So we're good.
Well, yeah, they're good. It's just
how Kay come out on the cheap side of it because she didn't have to pay all that money to get her over here.
Yep.
Yeah, that K1, that $8,000 for that K1, Rob made a donation to their relationship. Thank you, Rob. You know, thanks for that donation. Now they can live and be happy together.
Yes.
You know, and nobody's counting anybody's toilet paper over there. You know, they're happy. Yep. So we appreciate you making that contribution to Sophie and Kay's relationship. I'm sure they really do appreciate it. Okay, so we're going to wrap up and then we're going to come back tomorrow. So I already watched The Single Life, but we've been on for a minute already. It's kind of late. So we're going to come back tomorrow and we're going to talk about The Single Life part 3, right? I think this was part 3.
Yeah.
Next week will be part 4. And then the following week will be part 5. This is why.
I do have to say this. Kara.
And I have to agree.
Kara, what did me and you say? Have you watched the tell-all yet? Have you watched it?
Me?
I have.
Yes. Yeah, have you watched it, Kara?
I very much saw that Louisa and Jamal.
Okay.
Just like we
what
said.
What did me and you say, Kara? Me and you were right again.
Again. That's 3 times.
You're just going to have to wait to see exactly what we're talking about, George, because you know me and Kara is always right.
I don't know.
Always right.
Everybody,
I was like.
Tune in tomorrow and the ladies are going to tell me what they're right about again. And we'll probably be able to vouch for it because everything is being recorded. So I'm pretty sure they were right. They usually are. Make sure you're following both of my co-hosts, Kara and Didi. They're tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, GeorgeMassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Oh, and I want to thank everybody who was listening, watching, and streaming because we charted in Canada, Australia, and the United States last week.
Woohoo!
I know. Thank you so much. It's very humbling. And, David and Louisa and Jamal. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Okay, so we're going to come back tomorrow. Make sure everybody has an amazing night. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Kara and Didi. We'll talk to you guys really soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.